And so as you're finding 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be today. So this past couple of days, been meeting with our leadership team as we've done our annual retreat. And this year we were meeting in Cheney, actually, at the Shays, Bill's parents' place. It was really, really good. But so late yesterday afternoon, Carrie, Andrea, and I, we made a trip to Spokane, and we were in the ICU with Elizabeth. So in there to deliver the cards that many of you made last week, which she was in tears for seeing them, to brought a little ukulele, and we sang Amazing Grace and prayed over her. And by the end of the evening, she was no longer in the ICU, which is just all glory to God. But she has a long way to go. Her recovery will take, even though she looks like it's ahead of schedule, it will take many, many months. What is it that gives somebody the strength to just keep going and keep trusting, even when you're in a lot of pain? Even when it's easy to get discouraged. I was talking with James Detweiler, actually, over text late last night, because he's just 3 days out of surgery, and he's got a cough, which, if you just had your chest ripped open, is extremely uncomfortable. He's in a lot of pain. What is it that gives people strength to not get discouraged, even when you have those setbacks, even when you're in pain, even when you don't know how things are going to turn out? That theme of what does it mean to have resilience in our faith? That's kind of the main theme of the book that we're going to be looking at as you're opening up your Bibles, your paper Bibles or your Bible apps. I encourage you to follow along, especially in the Bible app. We've thrown all sorts of other resources in there as well to help you go deeper there. But what does it mean to have a resilient faith? I was reading a book this week by Angela Duckworth called Grit. That's kind of a good way to talk about a resilient faith. Grit. Just say it with me. Grit. Grit. Just sounds good. And one of the things that this book is pointing on, this isn't necessarily a Christian book. This is just out of the social sciences. It's kind of neat with how science so often just rediscovers the things that God's word has been affirming all along. Amen? And so this book coming out of the social sciences, it's kind of a hot thing. Maybe you've seen her TED talk. It's a very popular talk. Here's the big idea in Grit, is that it's not ultimately about the talent you were born with or even necessarily the opportunities that you've been given, though those things will help. It's about, like, long-term productivity, long-term success has everything to do with endurance. It's interesting, kind of watching the TED talk this week on this. She's talking about, you know, how athletes, they, you know, some athletes just endure, or like places like West Point, you know, they've got the best of the best, the brightest of the brightest, you know, going to the top military academy in the, you know, in the world probably, and how about 40% drop out in the first 7 weeks. And how all the aptitude tests and all the talent things and all of the pre-testing couldn't reveal who was going to drop out. But when they started measuring resilience, when they started measuring grit, they found out. Grit. The ability to endure. And as she's saying in the TED Talk, we're still, from her perspective, we're still figuring this out. You know, one of the things that the social scientists have discovered is the idea of let me make sure I've got the right term here. Having a growth mindset. You know, the idea that whatever I'm facing now, it won't always be that way. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, it's not always going to be like this. Not always going to be like this. The people that have dialed in to greater long-term goals have an increased capacity to face challenges now. Who knew? And that's what we're going to be looking at in God's Word today. 2 Corinthians is a book written by the Apostle Paul in a very difficult time in his life. The little church that he planted in Corinth, I mean, it's some miracle that the church even got started. They've been struggling, and he's been hearing about it while he's been over in Ephesus doing other work. you know, work that has been, well, successful enough that the city is trying to run him out of town. He's just survived a riot. Can you imagine having thousands of people angry at you, wanting to take your life? Like, imagine yourself in town Toyota Center, and every person in the stands was out to get you. I mean, he has just endured a scene a little bit like that. And he's writing, you know, to this church that's been struggling, just immorality and some divisions and heresies and attacks on leaders. And he writes them these words about resilience. And he helps them to dial into something that and this is why I'm just so excited to say, preach this today. I'm a little worn down. My words aren't always going to come out great. It's been a super, super busy week. But I'm just so praying that God will get this word across. Because when we tap into the source of true resilience, it can change everything. It changes everything about how we view the world. It changes everything about our capacity to endure and to even thrive in the midst of hardship. So as Sean comes to read, Sean's our leadership team chair. He's just doing an awesome job. I just appreciate him so much. Let's stand. Let's open up God's word. And even as you're hearing it read or reading it from the screen or reading it on your little fake Bibles in your hand or the real nice paper ones, however you're reading it, however you're accessing it, just pray, Lord, would you speak to me today? Lord, what is your word for me today? Thanks, Sean, for reading.
2 Corinthians 4:7-18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Amen. Please have a seat. So the message today is going to be pretty simple. We're just going to walk through this passage. And there's some parts of this I just so much want you to understand. This is a powerful, powerful passage. Okay, so we're going to jump back to verse 7. So follow along with me a little bit. Since then, ooh, that's interesting. Okay. Okay, that's cool. All right, so now you really want to have your real Bibles open. So verse 7, but we have this treasure in where? Jars of clay, ordinary, just ordinary people, ordinary things. You can tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, I don't look like much, do I? Right? Ordinary things, ordinary people have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from who? And not from who? Us. From God and not for us. And now check this out. We are hard pressed on every side. Hard pressed. We're under pressure. Anybody here under pressure? Anybody feeling the pressure? I'm feeling the pressure. Pressure from a whole lot of different angles. You are hard pressed from every side, but not what? Crushed. Let me see your eyes. So you do not have control over whether or not you feel stress in your life. But you have some control over whether or not you're stressed. Right? You may not have control over the circumstances in your world that will look to cause you to feel stress, but you don't need to let the pressure become your identity. I feel stressed. That doesn't necessarily mean I am stressed. Hard pressed on every side. Perplexed, but not in despair. Who ever wonders why? God, why? ISIS, why? Cancer, why? Car accidents, why? And do we know why? Often not. We know we live in a broken, fallen world, and it's not the way that God intends it, but why specific things happen? I don't know. Do you know? Me neither. We can easily get lost in the questions. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. You might have things going on in your life that will cause you to feel disappointment. Doesn't mean you have to be disappointed. There are things in your life that may cause you to feel confused, but that doesn't mean that you cannot trust. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. So sometimes, you know, you're following Jesus. Not everybody's happy about that. Not everybody's going to be cheering you on. Yay, that's fantastic. Now, I mean, in one sense, in North America here, we really don't experience persecution, at least not in the levels that our brothers and sisters do in other parts of the world. It may come, but not abandoned. I might be alone, but that doesn't mean I need to feel lonely. Struck down by words, maybe even by actions. That doesn't mean I need to be perpetually the victim. You may have been victimized. That doesn't mean you need to make that your identity. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Scratch your head with me. Like, what? I thought this Jesus thing was all about life. What's his death business? What's his death business? We carry around in Jesus, in our body, the death of Jesus. You know, this is a reminder. This is a reminder that what Christ accomplished on the cross through his sacrificial death change fundamentally and eternally our relationship with God. The death of Jesus is a reminder that we are forgiven people, that our sins have been atoned for, that the ultimate sacrifice has been made, that we are set free, that we are clean before God. We carry that around in our bodies. We remember it in every bit of suffering, because see, suffering in the hands of God can be used for good. Doesn't mean it is good, but it can be used for good. So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And then we start to discover really where the source of their endurance comes from. You ever wonder what gives people like Paul an ability to just keep going? He's like the Energizer Bunny of ministers. I mean, he just keeps going and going and going. It's amazing. It's written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. What's that next word? It's on the screen, right? Am I preaching up here alone? You can help me out. It'd be good. We can, you know, if I pray, you know, the more you pray for me, the better I'll get, you know, and the more you kind of respond, the more fun we'll have. Okay, so we can let's just do this together. All right. We have the same spirit. We also believe and therefore speak because we what? We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise who? Us with Jesus and present us with who? You to himself. Because of the sacrificial death of Jesus, the resurrection life of Jesus is yours and mine to claim, to live into. That we have assurance Not just because of hopeful thinking, not just because of a wonderful story, but because of historical evidence. I mean, everything in Christianity hinges on the resurrection. If Jesus really was raised from the dead, he was really dead on Friday, dead on Saturday, and wow, alive on Sunday. If Jesus was alive, it changes everything because people don't come back to life. But Jesus did. But Jesus did. Did you believe that? No, I'm serious. Not like, oh, that's a nice story, you know, let's talk about that at Easter, or you know, but like, I mean, do you really believe that? And you don't need to speak it up right away. But if it does, if you believe that, and now maybe some of you haven't really looked into it, you know, church is just kind of this thing, you're being polite, you're thinking, check it out, man. Get every bit of evidence you need. Dig as deep as you need to go. Nothing is hidden. Because if that's true, if that resurrection thing is true, it changes everything. It changes everything. And all this, he says, is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the heart of God. Now we're going to get down to the heart of this, okay? Therefore, do not lose heart. Anybody here ever lose heart? I do. Anybody ever kind of struggle with discouragement? I do. And when I do, it's because I've taken my eyes off of a greater reality. So Paul's reminding the church, and he's reminding you, he's reminding me, don't lose heart. There's a lot of things in life that are going to be discouraging, but you don't have to be discouraged. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And it's got to land on this last verse, okay? For our light and momentary troubles. What? Okay. Now, I'm not going to put this verse on the screen, but if you've got your paper Bibles open, okay, we're just going to turn back a little bit. We're going to turn back one page to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We read this in the first week of the series. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we were experiencing in the province of Asia, like a riot in Ephesus. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. So Paul is writing this saying, by the way, just wanted to let you know, things were so bad, I felt suicidal. Just wanted to inform you, our light and momentary troubles. What? Our light and momentary troubles. I had like 6,000 people, you know, out for my blood. But, you know, it's a light and momentary trouble. What gives him this kind of perspective? Light and momentary troubles? Really? Really? Light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What gives Paul and Timothy this kind of perspective? It's the same thing that can give you and me. The kind of perspective that can enable us to endure whatever life throws at us. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. Doesn't mean we're not going to get hurt. But we don't need to be hurt. Doesn't mean it's not going to knock us down, but it doesn't need to keep us down. Doesn't need to keep you down. Doesn't need to keep me down. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary. It's temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Our light and momentary troubles. Thursday morning, I got a phone call from Mary Clark. Her dad, Henry, he's 98. He had served in the U.S. Army in World War II, Airborne Division. And just a few weeks back, he was sitting in the back row. And it was his time. Had the privilege of sitting with the family as we read Psalm 23 and we prayed over him together. Do you think in that room, in Henry's heart, he was thinking, I wish I bought a bigger car. I wish I'd spent more time at work. I really should have worried about things more. Do you think that was on his mind? No, you know. And you don't even need to necessarily know all of his story to know. I mean, when we get down to those kind of moments, everything kind of, they kind of find its focus, don't they? As he surrounds himself with some of the people that have been closest to him in life. And they sing and they pray. And yesterday morning he passed on to eternity. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. I've got to close with just one question. What you looking at? What you looking at? Just for fun, tap your neighbor. Hey, what you looking at? Hey, what you looking at? What you looking at? Because what we fix our gaze on helps us find our focus, or we lose our focus. So, my friend, what you been looking at? Because if you want to find lasting peace, you want that, like that enduring faith, like people who, nothing could stop them. Ephesian riots can't stop them. Shipwrecks can't stop them. Persecution can't stop them. Disease can't stop them. If you want that kind of an enduring faith and an enduring legacy, pay attention to what you're looking at. Fix your eyes. Lord, fix my eyes. Not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen, it's eternal. So as we're just looking to be honest before God today, have you been getting discouraged? Have you been finding yourself maybe like I sometimes do? You just feel the pressure, and it's like you just wonder, is it going to crush me? Is it going to get me? Now, it's great when we encourage each other, isn't it? You know, and when we you've got friends in your life, they send you an encouraging text or they're praying for you, a little pat in the back. Oh man, that's awesome. I love that. And that's one of the best ways that we can love one another. It's fantastic. It's one of the best ways that we can be a community of faith for one another. But you know, I love it when you encourage me, but I don't necessarily need you to encourage me. I can be under pressure. I can be feeling the stress and not be stressed. You can be under pressure and not be stressed and not let it crush you. If we fix our eyes on the eternal, so we get our perspective right. And the things that we experience, though painful now, though hurtful now, though stinks to go through it, from the perspective of eternity, light and momentary troubles. I so much want that kind of strength in my life. Do you? With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's just have a moment of honesty before God. And so if you're somebody today that you're just saying, hey, you know, I'm just feeling the pressure right now. I'm feeling the pressure. I want to invite you to put your hand up. Just say, God, I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling it right now. I need your strength. Yeah. Now, I don't want to invite people, like, I'm not going to put people on the spot too much, but open your eyes, folks. There's a lot of hands up around the room. And most of you are liars. You didn't put your hands up. And I know you are. But if you did put your hand up, I would love it if somebody around you, let's just put a hand on the shoulder of a brother or sister. We're not going to do anything weird, but we can pray for each other. And we can pray God's peace and strength and hope and endurance over each other. So if you're willing to let a believer do that, put your hand up, put your hand up, put your hand up. Come on. Some of you need to put your hand up. I know. I mean, the power of God is alive in this place, and you need it, and I need it. My hand's up, by the way. And we can pray God's power and God's peace over one another. And we can find the kind of perspective that allows us to endure hardship, to know that whatever you're experiencing, no matter how hard it is, it's light, it's momentary. That doesn't mean it's not hard. It's just not forever. It's just not forever. So, see somebody's hand up. Put your hand on their shoulder. We're gonna pray out loud, and then I'm also gonna give an opportunity for those that just need to give their lives to Jesus. They've been facing the pressure on their own. Maybe you've been facing the pressure on your own, and you've been keeping God at arm's length, and you just need to let him in. He wants to be there as a source of strength. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in a moment. Okay, but we're gonna pray for our brothers and sisters in the pressure that we feel. Okay, let's pray. Would you pray out loud with me? Dear Lord, thank you that you give strength to those who feel weak. That you enable us to have an enduring faith, to see our trials in perspective, and to live the resurrection power. Lord, encourage my brother, encourage my sister, that we might fix our eyes on you and remember who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I also want to give you an opportunity. If right now, today, you're just realizing you've been keeping God at arm's length, and you're like, I need to refresh this relationship. I need to recommit my life to Christ. Or maybe it's your big day, and you're taking that first big step. In similar ways, just invite you to lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Well, let me just pray for us, because I know that every week God is tugging on people's hearts, and I'm asking you to do something a little public, and I know that makes it harder. But you know what? As you just turn your life over to Christ, even in the stillness and the privacy of your own heart, it's real. And he's there for you. And if you open up your heart, you could experience a measure of strength and peace that you never knew possible. Let's just do that. Lord, for every place that we experience hardship, Thank you that you are there with us. You may not get us out of it, but you can give us the capacity to go through it. So Lord, we give our lives to you. We place our trust in you. Thank you for the death of Christ that purchased our salvation and our atonement and our righteousness and our status before you. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus that gives us the sure promise of life on the other side of death. That could be the Lord calling. You never know. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for the things he's doing. And let's...